Another man, then stuck again. Rain and fire, cross the ocean. Another man, stuck again.
Welcome back to TMT's podcast and our second episode. Matt Rape won't be joining us, but this week we have our very own Mac McCoy. I'm Mitch Anderson. Mac?
Hi, everyone. This is Mac. This is my first time, so we'll see what happens.
You made that sound dirty.
Yeah.
You want to start off with the Spider-Man news, Jamie Bell.
Yeah, so it's Bleeding Cool. Seems to have a source that says that Billy Elliot star Jamie Bell is possibly, I guess they're saying he's going to be signed for Spider-Man, but the source seems, you know, to be perfectly honest, kind of sketchy at this point.
I don't see it myself.
Yeah, I mean, I know he was in the running, but as far as that goes, I haven't heard anything else about that.
Yeah, like, I know he was in the running, but I think that was just, like, a list from a while ago.
Yeah, it was quite a few people in that group.
Yeah.
I know, what was it? It was him, and then there was that kid from, I think it was called Percy Jackson?
Yeah, Logan Lerman.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think people are grasping at straws right now. I mean, there's no real... This is kind of just non-news at the moment to me.
It really is, but everybody was covering it. Might as well throw it out there. My money's still on Josh Hutcherson if I had to pick one.
You think so?
Like, he's not my top choice, but my money's on him getting it.
Yeah, I've been kind of indifferent about this whole reboot in the first place anyway. I mean, I wasn't a fan of Spider-Man 3, but... I was willing to give it like one more try, but the reboot is just I'm totally indifferent about it, so I haven't been paying much attention to who they've been choosing.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Like, I hated Spider-Man 3 as much as anyone, but I actually wanted to see Spider-Man 4.
Yeah, I thought Raimi was, I mean, from what I read and from the general vibe that I got, it seemed like he was wanting to try and, I don't know, maybe the word is redeem himself for...
I thought so, too. He wanted to leave the franchise in dignity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Sony just took a big shit on him.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it just seems like they... I mean, I guess they...
It came down to the same thing with Spider-Man 3, where he wanted to do one thing, and they were like, no, we can't market that. We won't make $1 billion. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate, considering how good... or at least personally how I felt about Spider-Man 2, I think it looks like Sony just saw the money and nothing else.
That's the thing. I think if he was able to make his own Spider-Man 3, we would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was just a matter of
corporate... Like, we probably would have gotten the Vulture then, and there would have been the shitty Flying Sandman and,
you
know, yeah. Topher Grace's Venom, but you're like, how the fuck is that?
Yeah, actually has been running, I think it was on FX, and I just, for some reason, caught a few minutes of it, and I still don't understand that choice. I mean, I like Topher Grace on That 70s Show, but...
I like him, but he's not Venom.
Yeah, no, it's just completely a miscast, completely.
And then, like, Jamie Bell, like the ugly British kid from, you know, Billy Elliot and...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't disliked him in what I've seen, but there's nothing that really screams Spider-Man to me. And
no.
Like you were saying earlier, he doesn't pass for high school for me.
No, he's too old. He's 24.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they like to cast older sometimes, but I think the younger group is looking much better.
I think the biggest problem is the new series, from what I hear, is going to be set entirely in high school, like a trilogy.
Yeah, it's from what I can tell, from what I've read, it seems like they're going with the Ultimate Spider-Man route from the comics, and that's fine. I think it would skew a little younger for audiences, Especially, it just, I don't know. It seems like they're trying to push him rather than letting the character be what it is, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It definitely does. I think that in, you know, 6-7 years, who knows how long, when they decide to make the third one, if it gets that far, how old is Jamie Bell going to be? He's going to be like in his early
30s. Yeah, yeah.
You want him playing someone who's 18, 19?
Yeah.
Because I don't see the movie spanning more than a few years in continuity.
Yeah, I can't imagine it, no. Tobey Maguire, I mean, he was already, by 3, he was pushing that whole college kid look anyway. I mean, his age was definitely showing for me, personally.
They almost should have just taken the story on a whole other level at that point. Like, he's already done college, he's established.
Yeah.
And then they can avoid the recast, you know?
Yeah, and it could have been, I mean, that could have certainly been real interesting, too, if they had, I'm not up on the comics continuity right now, but
I know
at one point he was a high school science teacher or chemistry teacher or something.
I didn't even know that.
And I felt that could have raised a whole bunch of interesting plot points.
That definitely could have worked. Moving on from Spider-Man before we do an entire Spider-Man podcast here.
Yeah.
Guillermo, if I can pronounce it properly, del Toro, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Drops out of The Hobbit. He leaves The Hobbit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hoped that it wasn't going to happen, but I definitely saw the signs coming. It's just been too long, and there's been too many issues with MGM and their whole ordeal. I think it's just, if it does happen, it's not going to be for a while.
Yeah, I don't see this creative team pulling it together. I just don't.
Yeah, I think Guillermo's moving on too. I think they were showing he's looking at doing another Oz film.
Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, Wizard of Oz.
I heard Drew Barrymore was producing or something, or directing a Wizard of Oz prequel or something. You know, but there's 1,000 Oz stories out there, so I don't
know.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah. I think there's been like 5 on the Sci-Fi Network.
But I mean, for me, I care about Wizard of Oz about as much as I care about The Hobbit. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm indifferent about this as well. I mean,
I'm not like shitting my pants to go see The Hobbit.
Yeah. I don't feel... Lord of the Rings was kind of a fluke. I was not a Lord of the Rings fan. You know, I didn't read the books in high school or even earlier. I just wasn't a fan, so I kind of brushed them off. And when I saw them, I loved them. But, you know, it could be the same for The Hobbit, but I still have the old animated version in my head. And I know some people may love it, but, oh, it's just so horrible to me.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah.
I have trouble getting into it. It was the same with Alice in Wonderland. I never liked the old cartoon. And I had no desire to watch the new live-action version.
Yeah, maybe it's just I don't know if it's a generation gap or if it's just, you know, maybe I should have read more in high school or as a kid. But those stories between Wizard of Oz, The Lord of the Rings, Alice in Wonderland, that kind of stuff is just not my thing at the moment.
Not mine either. I'd have to entirely agree with you there.
Yeah, but going back to Guillermo, I mean, I think he went as far as he could. I think he was from... what it seems like, all the stuff that's been going on, and I know that he released a press release today. I didn't get a chance to read that, but...
I caught a glimpse of it. It was nothing special. It was... He basically said they were fucking him in the ass, and he didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in so many words. In a lot nicer context.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't know whose fault it is, but I guess MGM's just in a total mess, and...
New Line's not in that much better of a position. Like, well... Money-wise, of course they are, because Warner Brothers, but
yeah,
they've got their heads so far up their asses that, you know...
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, I guess it's just best to part ways now. And
I mean, I don't doubt that there's going to be another one, because it's too big of a franchise for them to not develop.
Oh, absolutely. I think it'll be... It seems like it's a long way off, but I mean, another 5 years, give it time. I mean, like I was talking to you... couple days ago. I mean, Lord of the Rings kind of floundered from studio to studio for a while until it finally, you know, caught ground, got on the ground. And
yeah, I don't see New Line letting go of those rights anytime soon.
Yeah. I don't even know what forgive me if I'm wrong, but wasn't New Line having all sorts of issues between them and Warner Brothers at the time, and now they're,
the Tolkien, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right either, estate, like, that owns the rights technically.
Yeah,
they sold that to New Line. New Line, then New Line got absorbed by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Then you know, the Tolkien estate was suing New Line, so Warner Brothers was pissed. They settled that. Then Warner Brothers was setting, like, release dates that were completely unreasonable.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, we'll just do it then, and we'll do the next one the year after. Like, they didn't realize how much work goes into one film.
Yeah, I think maybe Jackson kind of shot himself in the foot with the production schedule of the first three films. Like, he just hammered those out so quickly and so...
And now he's so busy that he doesn't have... Yeah.
He's got an entire... I mean, Weta's now a big player in special effects and just all-around effects in Hollywood. And, I mean, I kind of take it... I mean, not say that Jackson is going the George Lucas route, but I see him in a similar fashion, like when... you know, after Star Wars broke, Lucas had, you know, he had Skywalker Ranch built. He had all of this stuff done, and he started to branch out in different areas.
Yeah, he went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs is what he did.
Yeah, and he ended up not directing for a long time. And I'm wondering if, you know, if Jackson's going to fall into a similar trap. Not to say that he's going to go and, you know, rape everyone's childhood like Lucas supposedly has. but you know, I mean, he may get just so bogged down with so many other projects that this just never comes to fruition, at least under him.
Yeah, that's true.
Not at the moment. I mean, it is what it is. I kind of... It was one of those things where as soon as I read it, it was like, okay, it was... sort of to be expected.
I had somewhat of a non-give-a-shit attitude as well.
Yeah. I was interested in visual aspects that Guillermo would have brought to it, but other than that, I kind of figured it was just going to be a straight shot. Like, I mean, Lord of the Rings was, you know, from what I'm told, adhered to the books fairly well, as much as they could in a film format, so I kind of figured it was just going to be the same story that I was familiar with. And Guillermo might put in, you know, some of his own visual flair. We'll see what happens now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, being that I didn't like the cartoon either, I had no desire to see this.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually more interested in, they were saying how they were going to bridge the films with the Lord of the Rings films. I was interested in seeing how they were going to do that more than the actual Hobbit story.
Well, I know that they included some of the cast from the Lord of the Rings while they were supposed to have.
Yeah. And yeah, that's another question is, you know, I mean, Ian McKellen, not to, you know, wish anything bad on him, but I mean...
He's ancient.
He's getting up there in age. Viggo Mortensen is... everyone's aging. You can't fight time, so at some point...
That's like my thing with Michael Caine. It's like, make Batman 3 already. He's going to die.
Yeah. I hope not. I like Michael Caine.
I like him too, but he's so old.
I don't know how old is he.
Oh, he's in his
70s. He's in his 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like... Don't recast Alfred. Just make it now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I am with it. It's whatever situation with me.
Morgan Freeman, too. He's ancient as shit, too. He's in his late 70s.
Is he really?
I guess
his career started up when he was, you know, older, so.
Yeah, I really hate to see him get recast, too.
I mean, I'd allow it in my
mind. It's a small role, but yeah. He's such an iconic actor. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, I really dig him in that role, too, so it would be a shame to see either of them leave.
The new trailer for Scott Pilgrim versus the World, did you see that?
I did. I don't know. What'd you think?
I'm on the fence still. I didn't jump on the bandwagon right away like everyone did.
Yeah, I mean, I've read the comics. From what I've seen, it seems to... And from what I've read from other people's opinion, it seems to adhere fairly well for... most of the film to the comic. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of the comic. I mean, I read it and I enjoyed it. I just don't know how it's going to translate. I mean, the most obvious gripe I have is it going to be more of Michael Cera playing Michael Cera?
Yeah, he's the sarcastic virgin.
Yeah, I just, I mean, I like him. I like the stuff that he's been in, but it's starting to wear thin with me, and I'm worried about. I mean, I'm not super worried, but I'm concerned about how that'll affect the film for general audiences and for someone like me or someone who's a huge fan of the comic who may think he just doesn't fit the role at all.
Yeah. Well, I know Jamie and, like, IESB, they were reporting that, you know, the production was plagued. Like, it was a horrible movie. Studio wasn't happy with it.
Oh, yeah, there was I know people were giving him hell because he was saying something about reshoots. And I mean, reshoots don't necessarily mean that something bad has happened.
When it happened on Jonah Hex, you knew it was because the movie was shit.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've loved everything Edgar Wright's done so far, so I kind of have faith in that.
I'd wish they'd cast Jesse Eisenberg, you know, from Zombieland, in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Definitely a better choice, in my opinion.
I think he has a lot more range, and he would bring the same, I don't want to say sarcasm.
Yeah.
It's got that, like, the character has that kind of, like, sarcasm and charm about him.
Yeah, definitely.
And Jesse Eisenberg and Michael Cera are both kind of good for that, except Eisenberg's got more range.
Yeah. I definitely loved the opening narration and the sequences in Zombieland at the beginning with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He pretty good so far from what I've seen him in. I mean, I haven't seen him in much, but certainly better than... I mean, yeah, you know, I have no real problems with Michael Cera, but it's definitely getting to the point where it's kind of cliche for him to play these characters.
I like him, he's funny, but I'm getting sick of seeing the same shit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He's pulling a Seth Rogen.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, and that's the same thing with me. Like, Seth Rogen, I'm fine with. I mean, there's some stuff I really like, but then it's also Green Hornet. I can only imagine how... I mean, I know we're not supposed to judge before the movie comes out, but
I've never been on board for that one. Yeah, it's going to be a giant clusterfuck.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so... but... Yeah, I mean, the effects look good. It looks like it's, you know, going to be a decent looking film. The jokes look like they're on point, so I think it'll be fine. There's really no way to tell until I sit down, because I mean, granted, I didn't, you know, when I saw the trailer for something like Shaun of the Dead, I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I did. So it might be a similar situation.
Like, I didn't see it in the theater. I waited, and then I caught it on TV or something like that. And I was like, how did I not see this before?
Yeah, so, and it's kind of interesting because, I mean, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, the last thing Edgar Wright did was Hot Fuzz. I hope I'm not missing something in between there, but if that's the case, it'll be interesting to see how he sort of transitions from something that's more British comedy to something that's much more, I guess you could say, mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, more of an American audience in mind. I mean, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead done that way as well, but this seems to be much more of his first full-on American movie.
Yeah.
Especially with the cast, and I don't know about the crew, but I'm assuming he probably brought everyone over that he works with.
A lot of them like to do that. Look at Chris Nolan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's just... his crew is outstanding, but I don't want to kiss ass too much, so...
He's got his own little clique that he rolls with.
Yeah.
But that's Nolan good, click. Though.
I mean, that type of work and that type of production environment definitely...
Don't fuck with them, because they'll put Batman on your movie's release date, and they'll fuck your shit up.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just move this aside, and yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah. We'll just change some things around. We're fucking you up now. Yeah. That Batman was in July? It's in April now. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Avengers. You're dead. Josh Whedon better not piss off Chris Nolan.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Crow. Did you hear about the Crow reboot?
I did. I read the article. I read several articles on it. I mean, just the same story, just getting it from different perspectives. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of it could go either way. I know a lot of people hold the first film in such high regard because of Brandon Lee. No, but you kind of get caught up in the whole ordeal, so you want to see it succeed,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's like their last film.
Or it's kind of touchy to reboot The Crow too, because Lee died while filming it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably not so much of a problem because they've had so many sequels recently.
And the sequels suck though.
Yeah, I haven't liked any of the sequels.
Yeah,
but I'm not totally against a reboot.
I'm not either.
I think, I mean, it could be interesting. My only concern is I hope people don't have an issue with it just because Brandon Lee. But mm-hmm. considering the sequels, I don't expect that happening.
Yeah, because the sequels have left such a shitty taste in people's mouths that I think the reboot's going to be like a breath of fresh air for fans of the franchise.
Absolutely. The thing I do have sort of an issue with is, I mean, he's got Stephen Norrington's doing the reboot, and he's definitely hit or miss with me. He did the first Blade in 98. And
I wasn't blown away by that. Blade 2 was better.
Yeah, I liked Blade 2 much more.
Blade 3 was garbage.
Yeah, that's my only concern with Goyer is, not to get off too off topic, but all this, you know, stuff talking about him, you know, like writing Superman or how involved is he with the Batman films.
I'm not the biggest Goyer fan myself.
I'm not either. It may be a situation of that he's just really, really good when he's with Nolan. So
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it definitely could be a thing where they're really, really strong as a team, but if he tries to do something on his own...
Yeah, he takes his training wheels off, and then he just goes to shit.
But, Stephen Norrington hasn't even directed anything since The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so that's
that's questionable.
Yeah, that kind of...
They were looking for someone cheap.
Yeah, that definitely could be what it is. Yeah, I'm just... I don't want to say that I'm on the fence with this as well, but it's just I don't see this doing anything for me. It might do well.
It's nothing I'm too excited for.
Yeah, the first movie was great, and I think that's fine. I'm also getting to the point where, you know, not to hammer the point home of, you know, no more reboots, but I mean, it's fine to do a reboot, but I mean, the film isn't that old.
And I mean, it was, in some cases, what's the point?
Yeah, like if it's done so well the first time, do we really need to just, I mean, you're trying to...
Why retell a story that was done fine, still holds up?
Yeah, you're just milking it for all it's worth, and
that's exactly what it is.
And I mean, from a corporate or a business standpoint, I guess that's fine for some people, but you do it so often, then at some point, the properties are just worthless because people are just burnt out on them.
Mm-hmm. See the awards show last night?
I did.
I was retarded.
I kept saying to my fiance, it was. It seemed like it was very ADD.
Yeah.
There was so much. I actually turned to her and I said, "Am I getting old, or is it just this seems so in your face? You know, there's all the colors are everywhere. Everyone's wearing some sort of LED lights on their body. I mean, you've got Christina Aguilera with a friggin' heart on her vagina. I mean,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah, when that happened, I almost had to. I had to question. I was thinking, I'm like, is she parodying? Like,
I had Lady a couple Gaga funny moments for me. Like, what's his face? Tom Cruise as Les Grossman.
Oh yeah, I had to say, I mean, some people are saying, you know, it was douchey and stuff like that.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
It's just in good fun, you know. He's not doing it to, you know, shit on anybody. He's just having a good time.
Yeah. And it's nice to see, I mean, yeah, I suppose, I mean, there is the argument out there. I'm not going to get into the whole Scientology thing, but, you know.
He's too good for Cocoa Puffs. We all know it.
Yeah, he's crazy. But he's another one that's like, you know. Everyone seems to have a problem with him, or everyone's like, oh, he's crazy and stuff, but I tend to like everything he's in. I mean, most of the stuff he's in.
He's an awesome actor. I don't care if he's Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I mean, he does quality work. It's usually every film he's in that I've seen is entertaining. I mean, even ones that I'm totally prepared to shit on when I go into the theater, I come out of it thinking, I'm like, you know, that was a really good film.
Yeah.
I mean, so I love the fact that he just went all in with that.
His dance choreographed with Jennifer Lopez was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I was actually kind of shocked because I didn't expect him to have any sort of coordination.
No, because she's a great dancer, so I was like, wow, he's actually like going pace for pace with her. I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
That's a great performer right there, you know, someone who can do that.
Yeah, and not taking himself so seriously.
Yeah, because for a while there, he seemed fucking nuts. I didn't even want to hear anything he had to say.
Yeah, but even still, I still went and saw his movies. I mean,
like you just scared he's gonna go on Oprah and be like, "I keep Katie Holmes in a cage."
I was listening to the radio earlier today, and they were saying something about they were surprised he left her alone in the stands because I guess one of those, you know, the teams that come in that rescue people from cults. So. Not that I have a problem with it, but I was completely shocked at how many just like F-bombs were getting dropped, and how much the censors were just screwing up.
Oh yeah, the Mark Wahlberg when he told The Rock fuck around.
Yeah,
I was killing myself laughing. I was like, I couldn't stop laughing for like 10 minutes.
Just offhand, thinking back now, I think there were at least 4 or 5 that got through.
I think even the look on The Rock's face was like, holy fuck, just told me to fuck around.
Yeah.
It's great. That, for me, was the whole show. I didn't care about any of the Twilight or any of the garbage. I was like, Mark Wahlberg told The Rock to fuck around.
Yeah. It was great. I thought it was, yeah. I mean, it was, they've always, people were saying, you know, oh, it's crap and stuff like that, but the movie awards have always been like that. I mean, it's always been crap.
Captain America's new suit.
For me, personally, I dig the hell out of it.
So do I.
I mean, it's
the shit out of Thor's new suit.
I have mixed feelings about that suit. Parts of it look okay, and then parts of it are just, I don't know. It seems like they just stopped designing anything after his waist.
Some people, and the other thing is, some people are saying, Captain America's suit's awesome, Thor's isn't, but who cares? It's like, well, you should. They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, they're going to be standing side by side.
Right away, or like, we're only 2 years away from that. Like,
I still can't believe the schedule they have these films on, too.
I know, I can't believe they're keeping it. But look at the quality of Iron Man 2. They count the quality take a huge hit in order to keep this retarded schedule.
Yeah. I certainly agree with you in your review. Iron Man 2 was, I mean, it was fun. It was great. It was, it's what it was, but it's also, I didn't see it as any better than the original. Anyway, back on topic, as far as I love the Captain America suit. I think they made some really good design choices, is in terms of how to incorporate the colors and the elements of the classic suit without it being just straight up spandex. Mm-hmm. It looks functional.
It doesn't have the dorky little wings.
Yeah, I know some people are losing their mind over the fact that it doesn't have wings, but I didn't really care either way.
I thought it shouldn't, because those wings are dorky as fuck.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't translate well on the screen.
Aside from the Captain America suit, the Thor suit was, remember the leaked image that Latino Review leaked, like, I don't know, a month ago there?
The one that was just sort
of... It was like his shoulder, and...
Yeah, yeah.
That was great. I was like, fuck yeah. Right? Well, from what I saw. And,
yeah.
And then I see the concept art. I know it's just concept art, but I thought American Gladiators right away.
Yeah. I can't remember where I saw it, but somebody, it might have been on Superhero Hype, they were commenting on how the gods apparently are just high-tech or technologically advanced civilization, and I kind of agree with that. It's too clean. It's too modern. Like, it's almost...
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to be like Vikings.
Yeah, like, the choice of, I guess, the overall design I can deal with. But the gauntlets on his arms are kind of, you know, they look kind of high tech, and I was expecting, you know, something like a hammered out bronze or something more weathered and like,
I thought it would be similar to like Beowulf, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that too, definitely.
Like, not the CGI, but I mean like a realistic take on like Beowulf, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems like he's wearing high-tech armor, and it's sort of the same argument that you get when they were talking about Superman having, you know, a special suit a while, you know, years ago. It's like, why would a god need high-tech armor? You know,
yeah.
His powers are supposed to be magic-based. I just see it. It's not medieval enough, or not medieval, but it's not Nordic.
Yeah. Well, I wanted him to have something more like battle armor, not some cheesy battle suit.
Yeah.
Have it be battle armor that looks like it's been in battle. Not like it's picked it up at Kmart in the Halloween section.
Yeah, like
that looked like something I could buy at Walmart.
Yeah.
It looked like plastic and garbage to me.
It's kind of Power Rangers-ish.
That's exactly the vibe I got from it. I was like, what the fuck? This guy is going to stand next to Iron Man and Captain America? Are you fucking shitting me?
I mean, it could. I mean, hopefully it could translate well on the film.
I really hope so. But my hopes went way down when I saw that.
It's not so bad from the waist up. I can pretty much deal with the waist up. The chest piece is just really, really too clean for my personal
taste.
I can
deal with the design of it, but it still needs to have a more realistic take.
Yeah, too much vacuum-formed plastic.
Yeah, exactly. I need more metal or leather, you know.
Yeah.
Or all of the above.
Yeah. I kind of envision, you know, leather straps, like, holding up his boots, just like in the comic, you know, or you know, the metal wrapped or simulated metal wrapped around his legs.
Fuck, I'd have been happy with chainmail over what the fuck he had on.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been like, okay, cool, as long as he's got his helmet and his hammer, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest things, and maybe the helmet will be the one redeeming quality. I don't know. I fucking hope so.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I haven't paid that much attention to what the full design of the costume is, but is he going to have the helmet? Is he going to wear the, you know, the winged helmet? I don't.
I've heard that he is, but I don't. Uh-huh. I don't think anyone's seen it.
Yeah.
But I hope the hammer's not as gay as it is in the concept art either.
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll look just like it did in the final scene of, or the ending scene of Iron Man 2. I think that's just somebody being a little overzealous with Photoshop.
I seriously hope at Comic-Con they release an image. Like, I understand that the movie is a year away, so they're not going to, you know, give us a trailer because that would be pointless and the hype would die off. But they could release a teaser image.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be a poster, just an image of what he actually looks like, so we can go, oh, okay, your movie's not a piece of shit.
Yeah, I'd like to, I think if they would be best served to release, like, lighting tests with the suit and stuff, you know, when they have them actually on a fully lit set.
I think we will. At Comic-Con, I think we're going to get a bunch of shit.
Yeah, because I think that'll definitely give us an idea of how it'll look on film, whereas this seems more like a standee for toy makers to look at.
Yeah, it looks like shit. Did you read up on the Halloween spinoff at all? Well, it's an indie film, but it's a Halloween spinoff.
Okay.
It's based on a line of dialogue from the original Halloween movie, and it's a spinoff about like a different murderer, I'm assuming, in a different town.
The original John Carpenter film?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a idea for a movie, basically, based on three lines of dialogue from the original.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool concept. The dialogue was, Loomis goes into the cemetery, if you remember that scene.
Yeah.
The groundskeeper, whatever, is talking to him, and he says, they're talking about Michael Myers, and he says, yeah, every town has something like this happen. I remember a guy over in Russellville, Charlie Bowles, about 15 years ago, he finished dinner, excused himself from the table, went out to the garage and got a hacksaw, then came back into the house, kissed his wife and two children goodbye, and then proceeded to, and then he cuts them off. And from just that dialogue right there, they've decided to make a spinoff.
That could be interesting. I could definitely, as long as... Rob Zombie. As long as Rob Zombie doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, it's an indie director.
That's good. Because, I don't know, did you see both Halloween and Halloween 2?
I saw the first one. I didn't mind that. But Halloween 2 was a piece of garbage that I couldn't even finish.
Yeah. Honestly, I finished that film and I just was confused.
I don't even think it was a Halloween movie. I think it was just Rob Zombie saying, fuck you, to Dimension. Is it Dimension that owns... They distributed that? Weinstein? One of the two.
I think it is.
Same shit, different pile.
Yeah, I think it was Dimension.
It's all the Weinsteins as far as I know, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, he was saying, fuck you to the Weinsteins is what I got from Halloween 2. That's seriously what I walked away from that movie with was Rob Zombie just said, fuck you to the Weinsteins.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I just
Mafraz, I love Michael Myers and this is what I think of him. It's I hate you Weinsteins, shove this up your ass.
Yeah. Definitely.
See, that's what I like about the spinoff. It's not Michael Myers based. Obviously it's in a different town, but it's from what I've heard from the director, because I had an interview with him, was that he has plans to get in contact with some of the original cast members.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be more in the vein of the original Halloween, but a spinoff.
I could definitely get behind that. That could be interesting.
Well, it's going to be like a homage, or an homage, however it's pronounced, to, you know, the classic horror.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as much about, you know, blowing people's heads up and fucking ripping their guts out of their stomach and showing it to you.
Yeah.
As it is the tension and the fucking, you know.
Even the gore from the 70s and 80s, I feel is so much better.
It was done more practically.
Yeah, it's more practical. Plus, I have a resistance to gore now just because they're trying to make it look so realistic. And it's, I feel like that's kind of missing the point. It's not, you kind of want to be over the top and you know, kind of campy. I mean, if you look back at all the, like, the Friday the 13th films, the Elm Street films,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there was blood, but it was always just, it was like in those situations, I tended to laugh and in a good way, just because it was like, oh my gosh, can you believe they pulled that off? Or you know,
Nightmare on Elm Street, the blood coming out of the bed.
Yes, yes, yes.
I fucking love that. And people are like, oh, that's so ridiculous. I'm like, fuck that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. It's, you know
it's ridiculously awesome. I think that's what they're going for with this.
Well, I hope that turns out well. I'm definitely interested in that, and I'll have to check it out.
We talked about Batman 3 recently, kind of.
Yeah.
He repeated himself again, basically.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a lot of this. I don't expect us to hear a lot of information about it. I think I don't think it's coming from a corporate standpoint. I don't think it's coming from him just being coy or misleading, or it's like, you're,
I think he's the Hitchcock of our generation.
I could definitely get behind that. Yeah. He is, I just get the impression of, he's really, really wants his audience to just go in and experience the movie. And I think he's really against spoilers and just the fact, basically, of like what we do.
Yeah.
Like, really wants people to come in with a fresh mind and not have any sort of pollution of what they've heard online or what they think is going to happen.
I think if it was up to him, you would know nothing about it other than this is Batman 3. And you're not seeing any of it until you see it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was actually I was listening to satellite radio, and they play movie scores, and they were interviewing Hans Zimmer about the Dark Knight score, and he touched on that about how they were pretty much just, everything is on lockdown until Nolan gives his, you know, final go, and even up until the very point of the movie being released, he's, you know, he's very, very protective of the film and his choices. I think he's at a point where he's like, I don't think he disrespects the online communities at all. I think he's just more concerned about, I don't want to be influenced by all of these people.
Don't tell that to Jet at Batman on Film. According to him, he has one of Nolan's nuts in his mouth at all times, you know?
I just think he's protective of his work, and I think people are, you know, kind of feeling left out in some ways, but the way I look at it is, the man cares about the product he's putting out. He wants to do the best job he can do, and he doesn't want to be tainted from, you know, outside ideas, or accidentally think, I'm going to question my thought process on this. I think he wants to do his job and then be judged by what he's done. I think that's as far as it goes. I don't think he's being coy. I think he's definitely an artist through and through in the way he does his work.
I think fanboys tend to read into what he says way too much.
Yeah. I don't expect to hear much more other than what we've been hearing. I think it'll be variations of what we've heard already.
I think we'll get a title.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
We'll get a title and possibly villains, but we won't even get casting until close to the end of the year.
I'm still not entirely convinced that we'll get villains by Comic-Con.
I don't think we might not get them then. We'll probably get them around this fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's around the time we're going to hear casting, is this fall.
Yeah, because it starts...
It'll start shooting next spring, so we'll hear it by like this winter latest. So they'll be going into, you know, very pre-production.
Yeah.
Come this fall, so.
I mean.
His brother's doing the screenplay right now, so.
Oh, is he still working on it? Okay.
Well, apparently. I don't know. You never know what they... He said that however long ago. So they just keep repeating it, so you never know if that's what's currently going on or if that's just what he said 6 months ago. There's a lot of controversy right now about the Joker and with his recent comments or interview with Empire Magazine. They ask him explicitly, is the Joker going to return? But they used it in the context of, would he return, you know, from, say, Arkham Asylum, pulling the strings? And they just use it as, like, an example.
Yeah.
For, you know, fanboys, they're going to say, oh, well, he didn't specifically say he won't come back.
Well, see, I remember you were, I think you brought that to my attention the other night, and dwelling on that fact, and I'm pretty sure, I feel like that was just a BS rumor from way back. I mean, this might have been last year, I'm not quite sure, about the whole idea of him pulling the strings from Arkham and have him in the shadows or something like
Empire that. Empire used it entirely as an example. It wasn't intended to be that was the question specifically.
Yeah.
It was the Joker could come back. This is just one example. But the question they were asking him was, will the Joker come back? It wasn't, will he come back in this context or that context?
Yeah,
but because it wasn't, you know, written in black and white just like that, will he come back? No. The fanboys want to read into it.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you the other day, I that whole quote of, I just don't feel comfortable talking about it, the way I read that is, I think he was completely satisfied with Heath Ledger's performance. I think he was probably excited about the fact, and I think that's probably where the films were going to go, and I personally just feel that he probably took Ledger's death hard, and he did. He did sort of like a eulogy. I think it was on in Rolling Stone, and it was very candid about his own personal views of the guy and what he saw on the set, and like just how, you know, professional he was as an actor. I think he took it hard, and I think it's just a simple situation of, I'm not going to revisit that character just because I don't want to tarnish the memory of working with him and working on that character.
Uh-huh.
I think trying to redo it or reinvent it or try and do sort of a hybrid of the character with some other actor, I think it would be a disservice to not just Ledger's performance, but just the quality of the film. It would feel forced, in my opinion. Like, oh, well, we have to do it, so, you know. And I think he's just saying, okay, well, then that's where the chips lie, and we're gonna keep it at that and move on.
Jeremy Renner is joining the Avengers.
I dig it. I dig that a lot.
So do I. I just think the Avengers is getting really crowded.
It is. I'm wondering how they're gonna fill all that out.
And I mean, see, what, he's playing Hawkeye, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
When I first read it, I thought they were saying Hawkman, like the DC character.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah. And then I was like, oh, Hawkeye, who the fuck is that? Then I was like, Avengers. Yeah. I'm like, what is Hawkman doing in the Avengers? And I realized it was Hawkeye. And
yeah, I'm totally in on this. His name had been thrown around so much since like after the Hurt Locker.
I heard Ant-Man, I heard all kinds of shit.
Yeah. I know the Hawkeye thing came up when he like mentioned it months and months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously the assumptions start popping up. But I like the guy. I mean, I like the stuff that I've seen him in.
Who is Hawkeye for me and the people that have no idea?
Clinton Barton. He's sort of, I don't want to.
I wasn't looking for an alias. I meant like.
I don't want to insult like Marvel people at all. But I guess he's. I don't know. I don't know which one came first. But he's essentially like Marvel's Green Arrow.
I think I know who he is. Okay, yeah. Okay.
He's an archer, and he's like an expert
guy with a bow. Okay.
Archman. What the hell's an archman? Expert marksman. I think he started off as a misguided villain in the Marvel Universe before ultimately joining up with Iron Man and Captain America as part of the Avengers lineup. As far as I can remember, he's always been a staple in the lineup. So he's just one of those guys that's kind of like he's got a huge cult following too. So you were saying like Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, like fuck, they are on their A game when it comes to their casting.
Because he's in, it's Captain America, right? That he's going to be.
Yeah, he's a doctor something or other that creates the super soldier serum.
So you've got, oh, okay. so you got him. You got
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
And he's like the general that brings.
Brings him in. I guess.
He recruits him, I guess, and brings him to the doctor. That's now Stanley. Because you could put the movie together in your head at this point.
I mean, I know people were having reservations about like Joe Johnston and
because Wolfman was a piece of shit.
Yeah. I still think that was tortured to death by the studio on a lot of.
I actually never even finished watching it, so I can't even really say because I was just so disgusted about halfway through.
I was like,
oh, what the fuck is this? It was so boring.
Yeah,
You had to really be in the mood to get into it.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm probably going to wait for when it's like on HBO or cable channels or. Completely ridiculous right now. I mean, it's fantastic from my point of view.
And the part that fucks me up about that is that I've always heard that Marvel is stingy cunts when it comes to paying people.
Yeah, so...
So I'm like, how are they getting these ensemble casts with their stingy pockets?
I guess maybe
people want the exposure?
Well, the films have... I mean...
No, like some actors, you know, they need the hit. They need a successful film to be in. They need to be in that kind of vehicle in some points in their career.
Maybe that's the thing. I mean, if you look at it, I guess, from an actor's perspective, which I don't have, but I'm making the assumption.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man, I don't think they paid him fuck all for the first one.
No, not at all. I think...
they were damn near bailing him out of jail, almost. Because he fucked you before that, Zodiac and something else. Zodiac was good.
But he didn't get a huge release.
Like... He was in jail, and then he went into movie star jail because no one wanted to hire him.
But yeah, you have to show that you're going to be able to be insured after some point.
Yeah, he was not a hot commodity, so I think they got him for dirt cheap.
He was also in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, but I don't think they paid a lot for him either.
No, not at all. I think Iron Man definitely reestablished his... payment credibility, I guess, or his income.
Marvel, and they're amazing casting.
Yeah.
Those guys are the bastards of Hollywood right now. They can cast anybody they want. They could bring Schwarzenegger out of retirement if they felt like it. Like,
God, I hope not. I don't know. I mean, I love Schwarzenegger, but I feel like it.
He's past his prime, but I think they could. If anybody could, it would be them at this point. Box office, I didn't actually see anything this weekend. Nothing really looked that great to me. I want to see Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah, I love Sarah Marshall. So
I thought that was hilarious, but I just a little bit too much of Jason Segel's penis.
Yeah, the first part in the film was funny. I laughed, and it was, you know, kind of shock humor. I got over that.
They showed it like three more times.
Yeah, I think there was
by about the fourth time I saw it, I was like, I'm sick of this guy's penis.
I was like, okay, the joke worked one time. We don't need to do it again.
I see that guy in anything now, and all I can picture is his fucking penis. I saw him on the MTV Movie Awards last night. I'm like, fucking penis! My girlfriend's just like, did you just say penis? And I'm like, shut up.
But yeah, I want to see Get Him to the Greek.
I didn't actually realize that was a spinoff of getting Sarah Marshall, whatever the fuck it's called. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the only reason I was familiar with it was because I'd heard, like, immediately after the Sarah Marshall did well, like, in DVD sales and stuff like that, they were talking about a sequel. I guess people aren't going to have a problem with the fact that Jonah Hill was playing a different character, so, I mean...
He was such a small, insignificant role in Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a big deal. I mean, it certainly looks funny. I think it's because it's R rated, isn't it? I haven't checked it.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So at least they're not pulling.
I prefer R rated comedies.
Absolutely. I don't see the. I mean, if you're gonna make a comedy and it's obviously for adults and it has adult themes, make it R rated.
Yeah.
I don't.
PG-13. Why bother? You're just gonna have subtle humor, you know, for the adults, but you're only having a PG-13 so that the kids can go as well.
Yeah, well, hell, you can't even do half the stuff in a PG-13.
I basically just described all of Adam Sandler's movies.
Speaking of which, that freaking Grown Ups film. Oh,
when I heard about it before I'd seen anything for it, I was like, yeah, okay. And then I saw something for it, and now I'm like, fuck you, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, it's all like it's all getting a lot of influence from the fact that I guess they're like parents now and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know.
Remember when it used to be fun to see Adam Sandler's buddies show up in his movies? And you're like, oh, there's that guy. Now you're just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Ask someone new. I'm fucking sick of your friends and your fucking movies.
Stop casting Rob Schneider in everything you do.
Rob Schneider is fucking dead to me. If he's in one more of your movies, I swear to God. I was one of the only five people in the theater when Funny People came out. Next time I won't be there.
Yeah, Marmaduke, I had no idea was coming out. I mean, I'm familiar with the comic strip, but...
It's a comic strip?
Yeah, it's like a... As far as I know, it only appears in newspapers. It's one of those, like...
Yeah, it just seems stupid to me, though.
But I haven't seen it in a newspaper around here in years, so I don't know if it's still going on or
what. Well, why make a movie, then? It just seems completely irrelevant.
Yeah, it seems like it... I mean, if you were going to... Wouldn't you do it at its height in popularity? I don't...
Transformers, no one had seen or cared about it in 20 years, and you know, the movie's made $1.6 billion or something, so...
Yeah, that's insane.
And everybody's like, yeah, G.I. Joe, it's going to do the same thing. I was like, no, not really. It's kind of fizzled out.
I'm certainly waiting for them to
Thundercats.
Or, God, Thundercats. Seriously.
I'm directing. You're gonna do all the artwork. You know, Pete's going to write it. Matt's going to do the score.
I just look at Thundercats and think, how in any... Well, I don't know. I would say, how in any way, shape, or form are you going to be able to make this translate into a decent film? Or just a film in general, but then look at Avatar.
I bet you that's what they would do, motion capture.
Yeah.
Are they actually making a Thundercats?
I've heard back and forth. I know at one point there was talk.
I heard He-Man and like Masters of the Universe.
I think too much time has passed with that.
That would not stop Hollywood. There are no original ideas left.
Yeah. They're starting to mine, like, we're moving away from the 70s, and now they're just mining all of the 80s properties.
Killers? It's like a piece of shit.
Yeah, I have no interest in it.
I was like, fuck yeah, and then I realized Katherine Heigl was in it. I was like, fuck no. Fuck that bitch. Splice.
Yeah, Splice is, I mean, it's getting good reviews, people seem to like it.
It looks fucked, I don't really want to see it.
It looks kind of creepy, and not like in a good creepy way.
I heard that Adrian Brody, I heard he has a sex scene with the creature.
Okay.
I lost all interest. And then, once he has a sex scene with the creature, then rapes the female lead.
Okay.
So it seduces him. He has a apparently just completely disturbing sex scene. I haven't seen it. And then once that's done... The creature, like, I don't know if it's right after, but it rapes the female lead, and it's just completely fucked. That's what I've heard, and, like, that alone is like, okay, I have no desire to see this now.
Yeah, that's a bit, I mean, that's a little, I don't know.
It's a bit much for me.
I mean, the concept seemed like it would be quite kind of interesting, the whole idea, but it's always supposed to be entertainment.
With The Dark Knight, it's to the point where the fans want so much. The studio's forced to do viral marketing.
Yeah.
You didn't
used
to have to do that. Like, Batman 1989, there was no viral marketing. We got a fucking poster and, like, two trailers.
Yeah, and I think the t-shirts were everywhere.
Yeah, and the t-shirts. But, like, aside from that, and it was word of mouth.
Yeah.
Your friends saying, this movie kicks fucking ass, go see it. It wasn't, you gotta see it and hear it everywhere, and you gotta be involved with it, and you have to know every detail before you even see it. There was none of that.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
And that movie was huge. It was made for, what, less than $40 million, and it made $400
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's monstrous in its day.
That's still monstrous now.
But I mean, in comparison, right? Like, that was Star Wars money back then.
Okay, that's it for this week's Crashing Hollywood. Hope you guys enjoyed our discussions and rants and probably getting off topic. So I guess we'll see you guys next week. And I'm Mac McCoy. And
I'm Mitch Anderson. And hopefully next week we'll have Matt Rape joining us. I almost forgot his name.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Rain and fire, cross the ocean. Another madman, then stuck again. Rain and fire, cross the ocean. Another madman, then stuck again.